can answer this question. Where is God when you cannot find Him? Has anybody ever gone through a time when you just couldn't seem to find the Lord? Amen. The Word of God tells us where He is when you can't find Him. Amen. Reading tonight from the book of Job, the 23rd chapter. You're familiar perhaps with the story of Job. He went through so many trials. And verse number 3 of the 23rd chapter, he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. You may be seated. Billy was always seemed like getting in trouble. He had a hard time not getting in trouble. His mother was at wit's end. So finally she asked the pastor, she said, "Would you talk to Billy? Can't seem to get through to him. He just always seems to be into something." So Billy came into the pastor's office. The pastor was thinking, how can I get across to Billy? And finally he decided on this tack. He said, "Well, you know, if he understands that God's watching him and God's listening to him, then maybe he'll watch his acts a little bit better." And so the pastor asked Billy the question. He said, "Billy, where is God? Where is God?" And about that time, Billy turned red. He jumped out of his seat. He hit the door running as fast as he could. He burst out of the church, ran down to his house, went into his bedroom, grabbed his backpack, started throwing his stuff in there. His little brother said, "Where you going, Billy?" He said, "God's turned up missing, and they're blaming it on me." You ever felt like that? That they were blaming everything on you? Amen. We're asking the question tonight, where is God? But I'm not blaming anybody. Amen. As a matter of fact, it is our desire tonight to try to answer that question. You know, the Bible is full of people that went through similar things to what you and I go through every day. That's what makes the Word of God so relevant to us today. This is not just a book that was written thousands of years ago as some kind of piece of literature to set on the book on the shelf with other great books. But this is the living Word. This is the testimonies of just men made righteous. And it's given to us today to help us to follow in the footsteps of the victorious and to show us the path also of the foolish. Amen. And so the Word of God is real for us today. It has answers for us today. Amen. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea when I say, where is God? Let me start out with a word of encouragement. Number one, he said this, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In Matthew 28 and verse 20, he said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And then in Romans chapter 8 verse 37 down to verse number 39. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's not forsaken anybody. If you don't know where he is tonight, I'm going to tell you where he is. If you can't feel his presence right now, I want to make known to you just what's going on. Israel found themselves in just such a situation. The Bible said their enemy Edom had come again. Is there something in your life that just keeps on picking at you and just won't leave you alone? Anybody know what I'm talking about today? It's just always there. It's always gnawing at you. It's always bothering you. It just never seems to go away. Edom was like that. To the Israelites, they were always there. They were always bothering. They were always battling with them. They were always going to war against them. And here they are again. The Edomites have pitched in the valley of Jordan. Israel's on one side, Edom's on the other side. And it looks like they're in trouble again. The Edomites seem like they're going to be victorious. It looks like the battle is going the wrong way. And all of a sudden, God gives a message to the pen of the prophet. Amen. And he tells him to write these words. He said, who is this that cometh from Edom? I want you to notice what that said. Who is this that cometh from Edom? What he's saying to you is tonight, when you cannot find God, it's because he's on the other side of the enemy line. He's not coming from behind you, but he's coming from the direction of your enemy. He's always already working on the victory on the other side. Amen. God is not coming from behind. God is not coming to help you in defeat, but he's already working on the victory. I don't know where he is, but he's in the enemy camp. Hallelujah. Who is this that cometh from Bozrah? He said his garments are dyed. Amen. They were not dyed. He said they're bloodstained. He said, I've been fighting a battle. You've been here pitched against your enemy, but I've been warring on the other side. Who is this that cometh from Bozrah? Bozrah was the capital of Edom, and he's letting Israel know, I've been battling on your behalf on the other side. Hallelujah. Don't you think when you can't find the presence of the Lord that he's not with you? Don't allow the enemy to tell you, God has forsaken me. Amen. If he's not present and you can't feel him, just be sure he's working on something. Hallelujah. Amen. He's working on your behalf. He's getting ready to bring you a victory from the other side. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want you to notice what he said. Then he goes on to talk about the Lord coming. He said he's glorious in his apparel. He's glorious in his appearance. Amen. A victor is glorious in his appearance. Somebody that's defeated is not. When somebody's defeated, they're ragged and they're torn and they're sad and their head's hanging down and they've been defeated in their spirit. They've been defeated in their mind. He said, oh no, his apparel is glorious. Hallelujah. Yeah, he might have had a tear here and there. He might have had some blood on his garments, but his head was held high. Hallelujah. There was victory in his song. Amen. There was power, the Bible said. And look how he's walking. He said the way that he travels, the way that he walks. You know, somebody that's defeated, you ever notice how they walk? They just kind of drag their feet. Amen. They just kind of just barely make it along. But you see somebody that's victorious. Hallelujah. How are they walking? They're stepping high. Amen. They're swaggering, if you will. Amen. They're walking in victory. They're walking in glory. So when he said, who is this? Who is this? Amen. They answered the question. The Lord said, I am he that speaks in righteousness. I am the God that is the mighty God of acts. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you can't find God, don't look for him behind you. He's not there. Hallelujah. Look toward the enemy camp. Amen. He's going to be coming from that direction. Look to where your trouble is. He's going to be coming from there, coming back this direction with victory in his walk and glory in his song and strength in his appearance, because God's in the enemy camp already. Hallelujah. Amen. He's already there. Hallelujah. You talk about a gloom day. You ever had one? Has it ever seemed like, my goodness, can anything else go wrong? You're like the guy, somebody said, cheer up, things could get worse. He said, I cheered up, and yeah, it got worse. Amen. Just seems that way. Just bad. Just bad. Israel had a bad time. Amen. The Bible says they went out to battle with the Philistines. Things hadn't been going right. There's a danger in not living close to God. Let me say that again. There's a danger in not living close to God. They went out to battle with the Philistines, and the battle didn't go well. At the end of the first day, 4,000 Israelites were slain on the battlefield. It wasn't going well at all. And so their leaders, Phinehas and Hophni, said, what we'll do as we'll go get the Ark of the Covenant that Sister Stovall was singing about. We'll get that Ark of the Covenant and we'll take God into battle with us. Let me tell you something. You don't send God into battle. You don't force God into battle. God's not some kind of a good luck charm. Hello. Amen. God's not some kind of a talisman that you carry around and you rub for good luck somewhere. God's not like that. So they said, we're going to make God go into battle with us. So they get the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the power of God and his covenant with Israel. And they take that Ark into battle. And whenever the Philistines see that Ark coming, you talk about fear in every heart. They begin to tremble in their shoes. They said, oh no, they brought their God with them. And so they said, it's all over, buddy, but quit yourselves like men. Let's go down fighting together. And they went against Israel. They thought, it's all over. Their God's a great God. We can't defeat him. But you know what happened? They routed Israel again. 30,000 men were slain on the battlefield that day. Phinehas and Hophni were killed that day. When the high priest Eli heard about it, he fell off of a fence and broke his neck. And of all things, the Ark of the Covenant was taken. And about that time, Phinehas' wife, in her travail, she was expecting a child. She had her little son, and she called his name Ichabod, for the glory of the Lord is departed. And then she said, because the ark has been taken, because my husband is dead, because my father-in-law has died, you talk about a dark day. Where's God now? I'll tell you where he is. Amen. He's in the enemy camp. Oh, I love this story. Amen. I love it so very much. When you talk about rejoicing among the Philistines, they thought, man, did we ever clean their plow today? They were boasting and they were bragging and they were proud. And they took the Ark of the Covenant and they said, we've got their God here. They're powerless against us now. And so to pay homage to their God, they took the Ark of the Covenant into the temple of Dagon and they put it down at the foot of Dagon. And by doing that, they were saying, Dagon has helped us conquer the God of Israel. They locked it up tight for the night. They come in the next morning. Amen. You know where Dagon was? He was flat on his face in the dirt, right before the Ark of the Covenant. They call the engineers.
Hey, they come in there and they got all of their equipment all hooked up, and they ratcheted and they pulled and they tugged, and they finally got, by the end of the day, they finally got Dagon standing back up again. And they said, "Oh, mighty Dagon that conquered the God of Israel." Amen. And that night, they may have put a guard on the door to make sure that nobody got in to push him over again. And the next morning they come in, amen, and they're ready to see what Dagon has done to the God of Israel. And they come in, and Dagon's head's laying over there, and one of his hands are laying over there, and one of his other hands is laying over there, and all that's laying before the Ark of the Covenant's a stump. Where's God? He's in the enemy camp. He's teaching the enemy a lesson. He's showing the enemy his glory. He's letting them know that I am the Lord God. Hallelujah. Do you know what happened? This time they didn't even try to put Dagon back together. Amen. They just closed the door in disgust, and nobody ever went back to see Dagon again. That's the danger of being a God that can't do anything. And they took that Ark of the Covenant. And you know what happened? Let me tell you something. God in the wrong hands is dangerous. If he's not in the hands of the faithful and people that love him, the same God that can bless can curse. The same God that can bring blessing can bring plague. So Ashdod was filled with a plague. And Ashdod said, "We got to get rid of this thing." So they sent it down to Gaza. And when the Ark of the Covenant got to Gaza, they had plagues in the city. They said, "We got to get rid of this thing." So they sent it down to Ekron. And when it got to Ekron, plagues came upon Ekron. What are you doing, God? I'm in the enemy camp. Hallelujah. I'm showing my glory to the enemy here. Amen. So finally they said, "We can't stand any more of this. We got to get rid of this God of Israel." Amen. You can't get rid of him, folks. You can't get rid of him. You might as well just give in, give up, and worship him. So they said, "Let's get rid of." So they went and got an ark, and they got some milk cows and a cart, and they put the ark on the cart and the milk cows, and they sent him home. Amen. I like what it says here in the book of Kings, Bible, or the, I'm sorry, book of 1 Samuel. The scripture says, "And the men of Beth-Shemesh said, 'Who is this who's able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up for us?' And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, 'The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord.'" I like this. "Come you down and fetch it up to you." In other words, they're saying, "Get this God off of our hands. We can't handle any more of this God of Israel." Everywhere he goes, he brings plague. Everywhere he goes, he brings death. Everywhere he goes, he brings disease. We got to get rid of this God. Get him out of here. He's killing us. Amen. Praise God. And so they brought the ark again home victorious. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. When you can't find God, look in the enemy camp. Hallelujah. When you think the glory of the Lord has departed, he's just getting started. Amen. He hadn't even begun yet. He's over in the enemy camp. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, that's well and good. What God did for all those people, that must have been marvelous stuff. But what has he ever done for me? Where is God when I need him? I'm going to tell you that you have three invincible foes that you cannot conquer by yourself. And they are the root of all of your problems. Amen. Anybody here ever been sick? Amen. Did you deserve it? Did you do anything to get it? Was it your fault? Not always. It just came on you. It just happened to you, because we are subject to disease, and there's not anything that we can do about some of it. protect yourself the best you can. But somehow in some way, it may come your way. One day, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your life. And there's not anything you can do about it. Amen. And the only way that it'll ever be defeated is if somebody can get behind the enemy lines. You know where the great battlefield is in the world? It's not the devil. And it's not the world. It's this stuff right here. I'm covered with it, and so are you. Some of us got more of it than others, but all of it stinks. It's all bad. Amen. Flesh. The battlefield is the flesh. The devil defeated Adam and Eve in the flesh. Amen. So when Jesus got ready to fight the battle, the Bible says God was manifest. God was manifest. God was manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. He came down here and he said, I'm going to put on a body just like yours. I'm going to put on some flesh just like yours. I'm going to suffer just like you. Hallelujah. I'm going to go through temptations just like you do. I'm going to battle sin just like you do. I'm going to battle disease just like you do. Amen. And so he came down and he went behind the enemy line and he put on a form of flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Did he win the victory? Is it possible to defeat disease? Is it possible to defeat sin? Is it possible to defeat death? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the prophet said way back in the book of Isaiah, he said that with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know something, friend. When he went behind the enemy lines, it cost him something. It was a dear price. It wasn't a battle that was easily won. Amen. They took a cat of nine tails and they stretched the skin tight upon his back when they tied him across that log. And they took the whip in the hand of a skilled man and they began to flay the flesh literally off of his back. And every time they jerked that whip back, came away flesh and bits of muscle and perhaps bone, and they beat him 40 stripes save one with that cat of nine tails. I want you to know something. He paid a price so that you can be healed today. But anybody here today been healed? Would you stand to your feet right now and give God thanks because he has defeated disease on our behalf tonight? I want you to know, friend, he went into the enemy camp. Hallelujah. Amen. He conquered disease on its own turf and won a victory for us tonight. Where is God when I'm sick, Pastor? Where is God when I'm suffering, Pastor? Where's God when I'm hurting, Pastor? I'm telling you tonight, he's in the enemy camp. Hallelujah. God bless you. May be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Sin has defeated every human being. The Bible said we are non-righteous. No, not one. No, not one. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did he deal with sin? Oh, he dealt with it. Amen. The book of Hebrews says it like this. It says, we have not a God which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. He can be touched. He can be touched with your shame. He can be touched with your guilt. He knows what you're going through. For the Bible says that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. I want you to know, friend, he went behind enemy lines and he fought sin Amen. He fought temptation. It came his way. Every temptation that you've been through, he's been there. Every thought that's come in your mind came in the mind of Christ. But he fought every sin. He defeated every sin. He laid it low. He put it down. He conquered every sin. Amen. Praise God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when his cup was offered, he said, "Oh, Father, if you can, let this cup pass from me." What cup are you talking about? It was a cup of sin, the sin of the world, yours and mine, and the purity of Christ was rebelling against all of that. The Bible said, "He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Amen. I want you to know, friend, he paid a price. He went behind the enemy line. Amen. And then the Bible said, "Therefore, let us come boldly." Everybody say boldly. Boldly. With confidence to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. There is a throne called grace, and where there's a throne, there's a king, and there's one that sits on that throne. He's the King of grace. He's the King of mercy. He's the King of glory, and Jesus is his name. Mercy. You need mercy when you've fallen. You need mercy when you gave in. You need mercy when you sin. Amen. But what about grace, brother? Grace is when you're still in the battle. You haven't given up yet. You haven't gone down yet. You haven't given in yet. You're still warring, and you're still fighting, and you're still standing, no matter how difficult it is. And so grace comes along and puts some strength in your backbone and in your weary feet and in your weary arms to help you to fight on, amen, until you gain the victory that God so wants you to have. Amen. Where is God when I'm tempted, Pastor? Where is God when temptation comes my way? Where is God when I taste the dirt as I fall on my face and I struggle back to my feet? Where is God then? Where is God when the enemy is taunting me and laughing at me because of my failure? I'm going to tell you where he is. He's on a throne called grace and a throne called mercy, and is waiting for you to appear so that he can clothe you again with his righteousness. Amen. God is behind the enemy lines when you can't find him. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says that the final enemy is death. That's the great equalizer. That's the one that all of us face. That's the one that nobody or very few have ever escaped from. The enemy called death. That's the boogeyman. That's the scary one. That's the one that robs people's sleep and gives them the nightmares. Death. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? Where is God when death comes knocking on the door? Where is God when death laughs and says, "You're next"? Where is God when you're bereaved and your heart is broken? Where's God? I'll tell you where he is. He's across on the enemy lines. Hallelujah. Amen. Even death couldn't stop him. I want you to know something. He brought death right into his hands. He stood one day before Pontius Pilate. Amen. And Pilate said to him, he said, "Don't you know that I have the power over you to take your life?" Jesus said, "You don't have any power over me unless it's given to you of my Father." You know one thing, folks, you and I need to understand is that death is a big bluff. It has no power over you unless God permits it. Unless God permits it. As long as He wants you here, you're going to be here. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing going to stop you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 10, He said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. No man taketh it from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Woo! That tells you who He was. Amen. And His critics said, "Well, tell us, are you the Christ? Tell us plainly." In the words of the blonde, "Duh." How much plainer could it be? Amen. Now you can say that, but you can't do that. Amen. You can lay down your life, but you can't take it up again. Amen. Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple," speaking of His body. And He said, "In 3 days, I will raise it up." Amen. Hallelujah. What are you doing, Lord? "I'm going to the enemy camp." Hallelujah. "I'm crossing over the enemy line. I'm throwing down the gauntlet." Hallelujah. "I'm letting death know I'm here and your days are numbered." Amen. There at the foot of Calvary, you talk about chaos. You talk about a collision of grace and mercy. Amen. A collision of cruelty and the love of God. It was quite a scene at the foot of Calvary that day. Amen. The enemies, they were mocking and they were cursing. And they were calling out and they were making their fun. And they were having their day. And they were making fun of the Lord of glory. Amen. Others He saved, but Himself He cannot save. Amen. If you're God, if you're who you say you are, come down from the cross. They were having a great time. Amen. They were mocking Him. They were getting in their last jabs. Amen. But He hung there between heaven and earth, fighting the last enemy. He hung there in the heat of the day, in the thirst, in the shame, in the absolute agony. Nails in His feet, nails in His hands. Crown of thorns on His head. Amen. He'd hang there until His lungs were burning, so couldn't breathe, and suffocation was closing in. So He would push on the nails of His feet, and He would pull the nails in His hand, and He would get Himself up a little straighter, and He'd get a few breaths, and He'd breathe as deeply as He could till He couldn't stand it anymore. And his limbs were weak and hurting, and the pain, and it slumped back down again until His lungs were gasping and asphyxiation was near. And He'd push Himself and pull Himself up again, and He'd get another breath. I'm telling you something, He's a warrior. He's a mighty warrior. You talk about a fight. He put in a fight. Amen. Praise God. And finally, toward the end, He lifted up His voice and He began to sing. He began to sing. Hallelujah. He began to sing from the 22nd Psalm. Amen. Hallelujah. And the last thing he said, I, it is finished.
Hallelujah.
He might as well have said, the battle is won. Victory is here. Amen. Because just about the time the wailing increased at the foot of the cross, and they took that limp body down and they were hauling it off somewhere to get it ready for burial, I'm going to tell you where Jesus was. He wasn't in that body anymore. He left that body. Amen. Hallelujah. Perhaps it says it so well in the book of Psalm chapter 24. Chapter 24 of Psalm verse 7 said, lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Hallelujah. He came in singing a psalm. Amen. Does that sound like defeat? Amen. He went down the path every man must travel, and every woman, every boy, and every girl. He walked down the street of death, and he walked right up to the gate, and he said, open up, gate! It wasn't to keep him out. It was to keep others in. Amen. So he walked to the gate, and it swung open like the door at Walmart. Hallelujah. And he walked right through the gate of hell itself, right through the gate of death itself. And he walked over to the trembling enemy called Satan, that by this time was down on his face at his feet. And he said, hey, Satan, I've come for the keys. And he just kind of held him up. And he said, all right, they're all yours. Hallelujah. The Bible said that he went and he made captivity captive. The same captivity that has held man in its grip since the days of Adam, he led it triumphant, hallelujah. When he came out of the grave, the Bible said he was just the first fruits of them that sleep. You remember when Jesus resurrected from the tomb, the Bible said, and there were saints walking the streets in Jerusalem. Can't you see somebody pushing their cart down the aisle at Jerusalem supermarket, and there's Aunt Matilda. Aunt Matilda, you died. I remember I attended your funeral several years ago. What are you doing here? She said, all I know is a man called Jesus came and said, honey, why don't you go with me for a little while? Amen. Praise God. Uncle Billy came knocking on the door and said, I just thought I'd stop by and let you know I'm going to live for a few more days. Hallelujah. Don't you know it was exciting in Jerusalem? Amen. What I'm trying to tell you today is when you don't know where God is, he's in the enemy camp. He's not coming behind you because he didn't leave you alone. He's in front of you, working on your behalf, gaining a victory for you. Amen. Praise God. That's the God that you serve today. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where God is when you can't find him. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, in the 20th chapter, Israel once again was faced with a conquering enemy that was so great there was no way that they could win. The Bible said the children of Moab, the Ammonites, and the people of Mount Seir all converged in a union and came against Jerusalem. He had a wise king at this time. And so King Jehoshaphat calls all the people from Judah and all surrounding area. He said, come. He said, we've got an enemy that we can't defeat. He said, all I know to do is to call a fast. And let's get together and let's pray. And you'd what a way to fight a battle.
Amen. He said, all we can do, folks, right now is just pray. So they fasted and they prayed and they heard from heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God sent them a message that day. Amen. He said to them, he said, you will not fight this battle. He said, this battle is the Lord's. This battle is those. I'm going to fight this one for you. Now let me say, there are some battles that God fights with us. And there are some battles that he fights for us. But in this battle, the Lord said, you'll not even have to fight. He said, I will fight for you. Amen. And I'm telling you, when God fights for you. Amen. So I love what they did. This is, to me, one of the greatest stories in all the Bible. You know what? You know how they fought that battle? They said, all right, let's get Brother Raymond over here. We're going to get the choir together. Huh? And they started getting some choir numbers ready. And they got the musicians out there. Hallelujah. What are you doing? We're getting ready to go to battle. Well, what about the horsemen? What about the chariots? What about the swords? Hey, what about the arrows and the bows? What about our armament? What about our army? What about our shields? What about our soldiers? Well, can you sing? If you can sing, you can be a part of this army. And you don't even have to sing well. I've heard people that couldn't sing well and didn't bother them. They just sang loud. What they made up in quality, they made up in quantity. Amen. But I'd rather hear somebody sing badly and sincerely and with anointing than hear somebody sing well and full of pride and arrogance. Amen. So they said, we're going to sing our song. Woo! Hallelujah. So the day came, and they marched on the battlefield, and they were singing, amen, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. As they begin to sing their song, I tell you, the devil gets mad when people start singing the victory song. Amen. He likes them beer drinking, tears in your beer songs. But you start singing victory songs. Amen. He likes hard rock suicide songs. But you start singing victory songs. You start singing there's power in the blood. You start singing about, amen, there's a crimson stream of blood. You start singing about the name of Jesus Christ. You start singing about, amen, the glory of the Lord. He can't handle that kind of singing. And you know what happened? Moab and Ammon got mad at Mount Seir. And they started killing them. And when they got through killing them, they got mad at one another. And they started killing one another. Amen. I'm telling you, it just drives the devil mad. Amen. When you just get the victory and you just keep singing. He don't know what to do about that. He can't handle that. Amen. Praise God. And so they went out and they won the battle not with swords but a song. God said, I'll fight this one. Praise the Lord. Amen. Where's God? When you're hurting, when you're in confusion, when you're in pain, when you're facing your greatest enemies, I'll tell you where he is. He's in the enemy camp. Don't look for him behind you. He's going to be coming from over there. Hallelujah. Amen. And you're going to know him. He's going to be the one that's walking with his head held high. He's the one that's going to be singing victory song. He's the one that's going to have the enemy blood dripping off of his garments. He's going to be the one that's strutting in victory. You'll know him when you see him. Amen. You won't have any doubt when you see him. You'll know who it is. Hallelujah. Amen. They were saying, who is this? Because they didn't really know. But I'm telling you that you look that direction because victory is going to come from the enemy camp. because that's where God is when you can't find him. He's not hiding behind you. Woo! He's not wringing his hands trying to figure out what to do. Oh no, he's already over there working on a solution, fighting in your behalf, gaining a victory for you. My, what a God. My, what a God. Hallelujah. My, what a God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where God is when you can't find him. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you so much for your time and for your attention. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we ought to sing a victory song here tonight. Amen. I think we ought to sing victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody feel like there's victory in Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus,
my Savior forever.
He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me before I knew him, and all my life it is due him. Said he plunged me to sweet victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.